Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
All right, episode 4. I can't believe we're already here.
Literally went by so quick.
The whole nother year, though.
We're in the next year.
A year later.
I
hate those jokes. I was so mad at work last Friday when people were like, see you in the next year. Stop it. See me Tuesday.
It's funny.
What are our thoughts about this episode? We finally are not in Nashville. We are in St. Louis.
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
The jokes that I've seen on social media, like pre this episode's release, and also just like generally as like people were revisiting the series of just like people, like I saw such a good TikTok. I'm sure you both saw it, and everyone listening to this has definitely seen it, of the video of someone driving past the arch being like, you're telling me he made this jump. And yeah. Then Walker commented on it like, light work.
That's like, funny. I have not seen that. That's hilarious, though.
All the comments are like, Rick has openly admitted that he just didn't know it was that far away. Like, but I do kind of appreciate that, like, the author has said, like, hey, I fucked up. I did not know the river was that far away. But the fans are like, you know what? No, Percy made that fucking jump.
But, you know, that's why a line editor is important. It's important to have a good line editor that looks up, hey, is this possible?
Yeah.
True.
Guess they weren't available for the first one.
Yeah.
Other than that, Rick is pretty good with his fact checking.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like that we've all just communally accepted, like, no, Percy made that jump.
Well, and
he's built different.
And people have historically been like, well, they really just pulled the water and like whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in the TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Water slide.
Retcon.
It literally was.
Yeah. I was like, okay. They made it work.
They made it work.
What are our thoughts on Echidna?
I think she's really fierce.
I thought she was kind of mother monster.
I guess, I don't know why I was anticipating her to be like, fine. But like, I expected her to kind of like be all out aggressive. Like, I don't know. I didn't expect her to be this like sly and like nasty, you know, like she was a polite woman.
I think it did something interesting to add to the little narrative that's been developing over the show of like monsters are not always what you think of monsters. Humans can be monsters. A monster doesn't just mean a creature. And like her points about how like, oh, you're saying my children are monsters, but to my perspective, you guys are the monsters. And I love that.
Yeah.
It was like the Heroes of Olympus argument was so clear, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
A well-evolved Gia plot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I liked the climax of the fight section of this episode in just that, like, we just start to see Percy's fatal flaw come out so like fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
In such a like pronounced way that it's like, so it's setting up so well that like, this is going to be this character's main detriment, is that he will always put himself in front of his friends or put his friends in front of himself. And when it comes to danger,
yeah,
you know, like he will never like, you know, he would rather put himself and risk his own life at 12. It's so jarring that he's just a little boy.
Well, I mean, probably he would rather save his friends than save the world too.
Exactly.
Which is a great character flaw. And I love it. I think that's one of the benefits of writing this series now after so much Percy Jackson book content is out. Is you just have a lot to work with the character is more developed when you get him to adapt than he was when that first movie came out. It's like totally. All the Heroes Olympus does just as much to characterize him. And we're already seeing the grounds of that laid even earlier.
Yeah, that is what's cool, is like seeing them able to build towards things that are so far in the future that just didn't exist when the original books came
out.
Yeah. It was so cool. I really enjoyed like the jokey banter between it was kind of like a brother sister type banter between Annabeth and Grover, specifically this episode. Like when Grover was on the top bunk and they were just like mocking each other relentlessly. Loved it. I thought it was so fierce, because I think it's so easy, especially with like younger actors, like adult writers writing for like younger characters who were supposed to be that age, to like just make them nice, you know, or like very like stereotype, like mean kid. But like, I don't know, they were the right amount of like feisty.
The thing I respect about this show a lot is I was really afraid the show was going to feel like a Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Show,
but it really
and
doesn't.
It really, really doesn't.
At all.
And I think that's the biggest strength of it, is it feels like genre TV that just happens to star younger kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that elevation does come from a really strong adult cast, which is often the like kind of the weakness of the like Disney Channel type show, where it's like you're focused around the kids are star, and then the parents and the adults are kind of like
one dimensional.
Right.
I won't say the actors are even bad, but the actors aren't even given stuff to do. But it's also like lower tier of actor. Like there are a lot of big names in this show.
Yeah.
And I think that itself does a lot to elevate it, because I think there's something for adults to be like, oh, I really like Jason Mantzoukas, or like things like that. So like there are people that I recognize as an adult from like watching other adult TV, and I'm like, oh, you're also in this.
Yeah.
And I think that helps.
And you get to play this character from my childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And like talking about it being not feeling like a Disney Channel-esque show, it's still just such a good kid show. And since the fateful day that I sat down and watched the Mr. Rogers documentary, it's like something that like always gets to me, of just like children deserve quality
good
content
TV,
and like TV that is not just like, here's the moral in your face. We didn't really do much to think about like what, like so many people these days, but like in this like current sphere of media, take advantage of the fact that kids will kind of watch anything in the sense that they're children and they're just trying to take in information about the world. So they're going to find most things interesting because they like don't know shit yet. And I think that it's such a good kids show, like that, like a kid could still watch this and like be totally wrapped up in the fantasy of it and subconsciously still get the messages. Cause I do feel like the themes it's trying to send are being displayed like overtly enough that like, it's not meant for like little kids, but it's meant for like, you know, when we read the books, like 10 to 12, like, like middle grade sort of vibes, like they would still be entertained and understand it as much as like someone our age or a teenager would, which is so cool, because make children good media. They deserve to have good things to watch that are high quality and not shit, because they are more easily entertained.
You heard her say it here first, folks. Make children great again.
Yeah. Make children. Because like, this show has so much thought put behind it, clearly, but even like the budget of like the technical effects is like crazy.
Yeah.
Like more than Disney has ever given any of their recent DCOMs. I just recently watched Danny Gonzalez's video about the zombies series on Disney Channel, and they said, here's $5 and a boom mic. Go for it. And like, it was like the most, like, it's the, a lot of things.
Go back to Party City where you belong.
A lot of things about that movie are terrible, but especially like their general production vibe. Budget. Yeah, general vibe and general production budget that like clearly.
A weird racism allegory.
So terrible. Guys, do not watch the zombies.
Make I haven't heard of this.
Great again. It's horrible. Watch the Danny Gonzalez video on it. It's great.
It was good.
Or maybe I've heard of it. I just don't know anything about it.
I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the pictures.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures.
The girl from Peyton List?
Oh, Peyton List. Yeah.
No. Nope. Looks like Peyton List.
Isn't Peyton List, though.
But is Peyton List.
She's a girl.
She's a girl. She's blonde.
Yeah. What was she in?
Oh, my God. It's not... She also looks like Catherine Newton and isn't Catherine Newton either.
Yeah.
Was she but in anything on Disney Channel?
I'm sure.
So, yeah.
But cut from that cloth.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
she has a name.
Disney has the capacity to create projects and give them no money in that sense. But the like special effects and the like the CGI in this has just been like crazy good.
So good.
They let the people from Marvel spend some, at least give one lesson.
I don't know. This is looking way better than the Marvel TV shows.
Like whoever was on that VFX team, great job.
Maybe it's the VFX team from Loki. Loki looked good.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't remember that much of Loki, but then I realized I stopped watching after the second episode because it made me really existential. you know, that'll happen. No, that chimera was awesome.
Literally.
Like, I believed it.
That's the thing. They are so, like not even super fantastical looking. They're just, like, creepy, like, real-looking monsters.
It's real clever production design.
Yeah.
It is, especially for Echidna when the tail started coming out of the case. I was like, okay, this is a smart way to do a reveal. I don't know.
A reveal.
Reveal.
I also, it was so funny when the people looked out into the middle of the train and saw a little dog walk back.
Dog, yeah. I know.
So
I was like, why are we focusing on this family?
Laugh out loud funny.
It was.
Any final thoughts?
That dog was adorable.
That dog was adorable. Big fan of that dog.
Me too.
Well, we have not received any more screeners for the show. We'll see what happens. But we might just be live reacting along with all of you now. Because we
have
episodes that we have been given advance access to very generously. Thank you, Disney. We love you.
Thank you.
For that. At least.
Yeah. We'll try our best to get the rest of these little mini episodes out around probably midnight when they release. We're gonna try our best to watch them when they drop and record right after, but please don't be mad if it takes longer. We all have real jobs and we're real adults and
terrifying.
We have three jobs and this is fun. Love this. No, this is job four.
Yeah.
But come back next week and talk about episode five. We're caught up with you now, so we have no idea what's gonna happen.
So
we know what each of the episodes is gonna be about because they released that, but
so exciting.
Yay. Bye.